Those of you who are on the spiritual path and want to go a little deeper. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hare Krishna. With more nourishment, so that they can actually follow the path of the longing of the soul, no? Which wants to be reunited with Krishna. I remember when I was phoning Keshava Maharaj, who was there with us on to start this, and then our Hari Parshad Prabhu. They both asked me, what is the idea of these Eastern retreats? And I said that there are so many devotees who, in the while they proceed in their path of Krishna consciousness, they feel they want to have some nourishment for this longing for a more experienced relationship with Radha and Krishna. And we should see if we can somehow serve this need. And yes, the devotees did wonderful. You notice we are sitting, the two of us here. The reason is that Keshava Maharaj, against his wish, he told me that this was so nourishing for him, this retreat. Also, against his wish, he had to attend a retreat which took place at the same time, the Eastern holidays, means there are a few more days available in England. It is very important for the English Yatra. And he thought about it for half a year, and then he phoned me, and together we came to the understanding that most probably he will have to follow the call of duty here and so on. But we found out, as we arranged the retreat schedule with Gaurahari and his wife and some other devotees, that it is actually easier to cover everything with two speakers, although 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 is always desired, but it is possible and easier possible. So yes, this retreat has a little history. Is this the third time, is it? Even the fourth, my God. Time rushes by. You know that you are getting old when every 5 minutes is breakfast. You know, in your perception. So, yes, we are very happy to deliver this retreat. Both of us have looked forward to this. We have prepared our presentations. We do hope to serve you, but I really want to say that a good retreat is happening when there is a exchange, a reciprocation between the speakers and the audience. You are as important, if not more, than the speakers. And the Padma Purana has one section. It's called the Bhagavat Mahatmya, and the Purana says, to obtain the full fruit of hearing transcendental subjects like the Bhagavatam and others is to hear, listen to this, with faith and humility, feeling very fallen, Dinatve Bhavana. Such a person can overcome the flaws of distraction and be fully concentrated. So to listen with faith, with humility, and this feeling of dinatva bhavana, feeling that this is a need for me. I need this existentially, because on my own I don't think I can move forward. In fact, perhaps the starting point of bhakti, and this should be continued in the various phases and levels of our advancement, is the realization that I'm really not fully there. I feel disconnected still. I feel I have a great need to be connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we realize that we are at the moment in deep need for Krishna, then, my dear devotees, we have something like lolyam, the desire, and only on this basis, this greed or intense longing or so on, will Krishna consciousness become alive for us. Otherwise, it will remain a mental exercise. It will remain something that does not nourish our soul. So this is the starting point, to feel the great need. At the beginning, this is perhaps intellectual only. Like a drinker, he will know, I should drink only celery juice. It's a new European word, Hari Parshat. Drink celery juice, it will take care of everything. The drinker knows this will cure my liver and so on, but he really wants to drink a bottle of beer or these things. But intellectually he knows. So in the beginning, as we enter the retreat, we may feel some prodding from our mind. Yes, you should do this. You should come into the association of devotees. It is an intellectual need, but it should become something where we really feel for it. Therefore, there's this prayer: Yuvatinam yata yuni yunang cha yuvato yata. Rupa Goswami has said this: O my Lord, may my mind always find pleasure in you, naturally, not just because I tell it to me, naturally, just as the mind of a young girl finds pleasure in the thoughts of a young boy, and the mind of a young boy finds pleasure in the thought of a young girl. No, you don't have to tell the girl or the boy to feel attraction to the opposite gender. It will come naturally with the growth of the body and the hormones in the body. So the devotee prays, I want this natural attraction to you. And my dear devotees, this natural attraction will come through hearing. Queen Kunti is thinking, why has the Lord appeared? And she gives different reasons here to save the world, which is overburdened like a boat at sea, too much weight and it goes down. Others say, because Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, that's why you appeared. Some say Krishna has appeared to glorify these dynasties of pious kings who established Dharma. But at the end, she comes to the true conclusion, the main reason. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama kamabhi. Others say that you appeared in order to renovate the devotional service of Shravana. See? Smaranahani. That is Smaran, remembering, no? Because by this, hearing about you, remembering you, they also, she also says, worshipping you, the conditioned souls gain suffering, sorry, gain. Maybe the suffering of sleeplessness, but they get freedom from suffering. And then she says, Shrinvanti gayanti grinantya bikshnasha smaranti nandanti tavihitam janam. I will, she continues, but O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities. The word here is remember you, no? Or take pleasure in others doing so. Certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. The word here is achirena. This means certainly they will see your lotus feet, which means, the acharyas say, they will want to serve you. Certainly. Achirena. It's sure. And also, pravaha. The pravaha means the flow of birth and death, or the flow of their karma, will certainly be finished. So, my dear devotees, I really invite you to make this your hearing marathon, where you can hear about Krishna, you can also remember Krishna, learn to meditate about Krishna, because then it is certain that you will see the Lord and serve Him, and it is certain that your karma pravaha, the flow of repeated birth and death, will go. This is the idea of this retreat. So I can only request you to divide your time in such a way that you give maximum of it to Krishna. I know that many of you have also agendas. Agendas is, I don't mean it in that they have plans. Oh, I want to talk with, I want to meet my friends. Oh, I want to clarify this with so and so. Oh, I want to work, you know, on the computer and so on. But give yourself the time to just immerse yourself in Krishna and become conscious of Krishna. This is the best way to solve your problems, and also the easiest way to overcome those obstacles on your path with which you are presently struggling. Krishna himself, he says this, Machchitta Sarva Durgani, by becoming conscious of me, Sarva Durgani, all the difficulties will be overcome by my grace. What do you think is more powerful, your problem solving or Krishna's? It's a rhetorical question. We, yes, of course, if Krishna gives his grace. Also, you must know one thing. When Krishna sees that his devotees come together to hear about Krishna, to also act properly amongst themselves, serve each other, no? Then Krishna says, Tata Tishtami, I stay there, I'm there, I'm I'm coming. Therefore, in these in the ancient times, when life was so much more geared towards these events of hearing, there would be seats which would be made for Radha and Krishna. And it was understood that they would come and stay right in the Sangha of the devotees. Also, Krishna will see, as you are giving your best, he will look at you with his kind glance, his Sudarshan, his eyes, his smiling eyes, glance will create in you more eagerness for Krishna and to Radha Krishna, Vrindavan, and to drop all else. No? Kripa drishti vishyati dinam vatanu griyaneshu mangakyam et yakshi drishyano. Please give your kripa drishti, shower me with your merciful glance and kindly uplift me. And in the association of devotees who make hearing and chanting their main goal, Krishna is coming and he will look at us. And if Krishna once looks at you and smiles because he's satisfied, my dear devotees, we don't need more. I want to now say what will be my focus. Ari Parshad will introduce his focus on his sessions a little bit. And he will say something else. My focus will be talking about Krishna in Vrindavan. This year in Vrindavan, something happened that changed my life. I went to a rare sacred spot where Krishna touched the earth and he made a promise to all the devotees. And I brought a stone from this place, the promise stone, which you can all touch. You can see there is the fingerprint of Krishna on that stone. Somehow I got such a thing. And I will tell you the pastimes there, where Krishna promised his devotees to always stay close by their side. And what are the circumstances, what happened, and so on. I will tell you. I will also tell you about seeing the real form of Krishna as it was seen by Shitrasakhi. Shitrasakhi can paint any person in the universe in a matter of minutes, but when she tried to paint Krishna, this is Rasik Shekhar is describing this pastime. She had visited Krishna's place in Nandagram. Krishna has stood model for her. You will hear all this in detail. But when she went home, she tried 1,000 pictures, and the devatas were so satisfied. They came and looked. Yeah, this is how Krishna looks. But she was frustrated because the real color of Krishna did not manifest. And what happened so that she could see Krishna is highly inspiring for the devotees. There are dramas which are done in Braj which describe this and so on. So I will talk mainly about this. I have one Bhagavatam lecture where I will talk about how Krishna is very close. Yes, the reason why I chose these subjects is I read something from Prabhupada which really, in American slang you would say, hit home. I don't know really what can hit home, but it touched me. Prabhupada spoke about the Braj Krishna. He says, not knowing Krishna's identity, they don't know who he is, the cowherd boys simply love Krishna. and their love is unending. That is true of everyone in Vrindavan. For example, Yashoda Mata Nanda Maharaj loved Krishna with parental affection. Similarly, Krishna's friends love Krishna. Krishna's girlfriends love Krishna. The trees love Krishna. The water loves Krishna. The flowers, the cows, the calves, everyone loves Krishna. That is the nature of Vrindavan. So if we simply learn how to love Krishna, we can immediately transform this world into Vrindavan. So Vrindavan Krishna has that, when you hear in this mood which the Padma Purana is talking about, faith, humility, feeling very fallen and very eager, therefore, then yes, you will, and you will get something in your heart. And Prabhupada writes in Madhya Leela, in Brajabhumi, Krishna is certainly the central point of love, and the inhabitants there know Krishna as a friend, son, lover, or master. So I would love to talk a little bit about this Krishna, and hope I will totally leave you or impress upon you this desire to come and get to know this Vrindavan Krishna with his infectious quality of love. And I sincerely hope that at the end of this retreat you will think more about this Krishna, and by his grace you will overcome all the difficulties, all the problems, all the things which the world will throw at us at this time of change. Yes, this is what I would like to do. Now I want to turn over to our Hari Parshad. Those of you, I think you all know him. He is wonderful. His father told him he must learn Sanskrit. I think as a boy it was not always easy, because it's not so easy to learn Sanskrit, but he has learned Sanskrit. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radha Govinda Goswami, but has taken inspiration from other wonderful devotees, and has not only a scholarly presentation, but a presentation that makes all of us hanker for more and more and more. And it is very, very nice that you have agreed to our humble invitation. We are sorry that it's so cold in Germany at the moment. Yes, we will put the microphone now over. So, and please stay. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Nice to see you, by the way. I know that still some of you are in the cars, in the helicopters, on flying carpets. Will arrive in the next hours. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for kindly inviting me here to speak something. And it is an honor to share the stage with you. I am honored that this is the third year that I have been invited here. And although we are missing Swayam Bhagwan Keshav Maharaj, and Srimad Bhagavatam says, Krishna is to Bhagwan Swayam. Only Krishna is Swayam Bhagwan. So one part of me feels that we are missing Swayam Bhagwan, you know, this year. But missing someone is an essential part of appreciating them. And I guess our appreciation for Maharaj will increase because we'll miss him this time. And maybe we can bribe him somehow next year. And you know, whatever price needs to be paid. And I think the only price is lolium, you know. And then I think we'll need to show more lolium than the UK devotees next. So, and hopefully have him back with us. And next time he comes, we'll make him promise in front of the deities that he'll come every year. But I'm very thankful that I'm here in front of all of you. I'm very thankful also to Gaurahari Prabhu, who is assisted by his wonderful Sahadharmini, Vaijayanti Mataji. Sahadharmini, she who is equal in all acts of Dharma, Vaijayanti Mataji. She is assisting him. And I'm also very thankful to Bhaktin Valentina, who is arranging so many things behind the scenes. Thank you so much for arranging everything nicely. And of course, the best part of the program is prasadam. And prasadam is by Advitiya Baladev Prabhu. So, and I'm sure he has a team with him to assist him. And we have wonderful kirtans by Gaur Krishna Prabhu. So dear devotees, let's give three loud Hari Bols to all of these devotees. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! This particular presentation on the culture of Sri Krishna Smaranam was given by myself in the beginning of this year in Jagannath Puri. And there were many Prabhupada disciples present during that time. And of course, it was met with mixed reactions. That's the sweetest way in which I can put it. So, and see, I'm a person who loves a good challenge. So, so I took it upon myself to present this topic on the culture of Sri Krishna Smaranam, because this morning Maharaj was speaking about envy and criticism in the Bhagavatam class. And there is a verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 28th chapter, Krishna says something to Uddhava. Paraswabhava karmani yaha prashamsati nindati sa ashu bhrashyate swarthad asatya biniveshata. Envy and praise, criticism are, and praise are contagious diseases. And the moment we start praising somebody, praise is also contagious, it spreads by touch. And criticism is also contagious, it spreads by touch. So the moment we start praising or criticizing someone, some of it has already started affecting us. And the root of all envy or praise is the mind. And the dualities of the world occur because many times we do not have anything higher to keep the mind occupied with. Therefore, in the Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Sri Narottam Das Thakur said, Manera Smarana Prana. The life of the mind is Sri Krishna Smaranam. And anyone who doesn't develop this culture of Sri Krishna Smaranam leaves the entire room of the mind open for envy or false praise. And dear devotees, it immediately immerses us in the world of dualities where we are constantly worried about what someone else is thinking of us. So there must be something higher than this lower mode of existence, and therefore the acharyas have given a perfect remedy in the form of Shri Krishna Smaranam. Srila Prabhupada used to say in his usual style, what is the difficulty? This is Krishna consciousness. You drink water, you remember Krishna. You see the light, you remember Krishna. You see the flavor, aroma of a very nice flower, Punya Gandha, immediately remember Krishna. And then he says, practice this. It's very important because I love these small snippets which I can take out and highlight. Dear devotees, please repeat after me. Practice this. But where is the practice? So we need to have a culture of practice of Shri Krishna Smaranam. And Srila Prabhupada says, it is not difficult. It is not difficult. As I told you, envy and praise are contagious in nature. Shri Krishna Smaranam is also contagious in nature. Once you get into the intoxication of Shri Krishna Smaranam, then life changes completely and you get transformed into a different person altogether. And it is only by this genuine transformation, and everyone around you will be able to see. You won't have to fake it in front of anyone. Everyone around you will be able to see that this particular person has really achieved something in life related to Shri Krishna Smaranam that we all would love to achieve. So dear devotees, it's a different universe altogether. This universe is described as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, whereas the universe of Shri Krishna Smaranam is Sukhalayam Shashvatam. It is the complete opposite of this universe. So basically, we have to transport ourselves into another universe. And therefore, I am so happy that I am in front of all of you, because I have great hope invested in all of you. A speaker comes and sits on the stage because they have some hope invested with the audience. Otherwise, they wouldn't come and sit on the stage. And I have some hope invested with all of you that all of you will be able to not only appreciate the message of Shri Krishna Smaranam, but also personally relish some of it. There's a very nice verse for such high class audience as all of you. And dear devotees, it is only the Vaishnavas who are a high class audience, like-minded Vaishnavas. Because this audience is like no other audience in the entire world. There is no other place in the world where I can go and speak this except for in an assembly of like-minded Vaishnavas. So all of you dear devotees are glorified in various verses in Shastra. This is a wonderful verse which highlights the importance of having like-minded audience such as all of you. This verse is in the meter Shardul Vikriditam, same as Shad Goswami Ashtakam. Dear devotees, can we sing together?
Yes.
Alright, let's sing together.
Pratah Pankaj Kudmala Dyuti Padam Tat Kesharulasavan Arthobhyantara Saurabha Pratinibham व्यंग्यं चमत्कारयात् द्वित्रैर्यद्रसिकैश्चिरं सहृदयैर्भृङ्गैर्वास्वाद्यते तत्काव्यं न पुनः प्रमत्त कुकवेर्यत्किञ्चिदुज्जल्पितम्.
So this verse from the Subhashit literature says, Pratah Pankaja, the early morning blooming lotus, which all of you can see here, Kudmala, Dyuti, and you see Kudmala is the petals of the lotus, and these petals give out a natural effulgence. Dear devotees, these petals are comparable to the words of the poetry of great devotees. So please keep in your mind, here is a lotus which blossoms in the morning, and the petals are comparable to the words of the poetry written by great poets such as Sri Rupa Goswami. Tat keshara ullasavan. But you can't be happy simply with the petals. The actual substance is deep within. And the keshara, the fibers, and the central whole of the lotus, the central part of the lotus, is artho abhyantara, is the meaning of that poetry given by great acharyas. Saurabha pratinibham vyangyam. And dear devotees, sometimes after understanding the meaning, you come to realize the hidden meaning or the indicated meaning behind the poetry, which is not directly sometimes visible in the poetry. And that is compared to the fragrance of the central part of the lotus. Because there are varieties of fragrance in the lotus, but there is a subtle fragrance in the central part of the lotus, which is used nowadays by most makers of perfume to give a floral top note to all their perfumes. So this very subtle fragrance is that subtle hidden meaning behind the poetry, which is available with great difficulty. And once you understand this subtle hidden meaning, chamatkar, your heart is filled with chamatkar. Dear devotees, does anyone know what is the meaning of chamatkar? Wonder. Yam vinana raso rasah. There is no rasa unless there is wonder generated. Dear devotees, dvitrayad rasikais, there are only a handful of rasika devotees, chiram sahridayer, who are like-minded to these great poets, bringair ivasvadyate, and these devotees, all of you are like the bringa, like the bumblebee in the center of the lotus. Tat kavyam, that, dear devotees, is poetry, and all of you are like those select few bumblebees who have the capacity to relish the inner meanings, the inner fragrances of the poetry of Sri Rupa Goswami. So I have great hopes invested in you. Tat kavyam na punaha pramattaku kaver yatkinchidul jalpitam. That is poetry. That poetry written by the previous great poets, like the six Goswamis, that is poetry. And not just the ramblings of a madman, dear devotees. A neophyte poet cannot compose like this. It is only a very specialized poet blessed by Bhagavan, such as Sri Rupa Goswami, who can compose poetry that has all of these characteristics. So, dear devotees, here is the translation. Does anybody have a mic? Gaur Krishna Prabhu, would you like to read?
Excellent poetry is like a blossoming, fragrant lotus in the morning. Its words are like its petals, their meaning its wool and stamen, and the astonishing hidden meaning is comparable to the fragrance it emits from within. There are only a handful of rasikas, connoisseurs, who like bumblebees relish the sweet honey of the lotus poem. Such poetry indeed is true poetry. the ramblings of other amateur poets can never be relished in the same manner.
So dear devotees, I'd like to invite all of you to relish some of this poetry that has been written by the previous acharyas. Because everything in the sampradaya is poetry. The first book that Srila Prabhupada recommended everybody should read is Bhagavad Gita. And what does Gita mean?
Song.
It is poetry. And then comes Srimad Bhagavatam, which is poetry. And then comes Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is poetry. There is no escaping poetry in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, dear devotees, we need to have the heart of a poet in order to come closer to the mood of the previous acharyas. And I'd like to ask a few questions. Please answer in yes or no. Did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compose poetry?
Yes.
Yes.
His disciple Sri Rupa Goswami?
Yes.
His nephew Sri Jiva Goswami?
Yes.
His disciple Sri Narottam Das Thakur?
Yes.
Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti?
Yes.
Sri Baldev Vidyabhushan?
Yes.
Sri Bhakti Vinod Thakur?
Yes.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur?
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada?
Yes.
All of us? Are? Something changed. After 50 years of Hare Krishna movement, we run the risk of stagnating it because we are not writing new poetry. It is Hare Krishna movement, and movement means things should move, and they will only move if we do something in order to make it move. So dear devotees, if we cannot compose new poetry, at least we should appreciate the poetry written by the previous great acharyas. And it's very important for all of us to have that heart. Philosophy, which is known as darshan, Vedanta, is very good. But often devotees who study Vedanta sometimes neglect the poetic aspect of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. And neglecting that aspect sometimes is equivalent to scraping your heart with sandpaper. The material world already does that. It scrapes your heart with a sandpaper. And if we don't soften our heart through this poetry, it becomes very difficult for us to experience those emotions that the previous acharyas wanted us to experience. So this, dear devotees, the petals are the words. The whole is the meaning, and the hidden meaning is the fragrance, and all of you dear devotees are rasikas. Welcome dear devotees, I am very happy to have all of you here. I am confident about all of you. My only doubt is when I look in the mirror, that is when I have doubts. So all of you are qualified, very well qualified. And when I look at myself in the mirror every morning, I remember Shakespeare, who said, some people are born great, some attain greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. So there are some individuals like Srila Prabhupada who are born great because the astrologer predicted by the end of his life, 108 temples will be built. Greatness by birth. Then there are some individuals like Maharaj, all of you who came in contact with Maharaj came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, and Maharaj is not only born great but also has attained greatness because of his association with Srila Prabhupada. And then there is myself upon whom greatness has been thrust. So this is the position in which I find myself. So you'll find that the speaker is very pretentious, dear devotees. Here is a freshly composed verse which describes the speaker. Please repeat after me. Yatha bindu paya sindho.
Yatha bindu paya sindho.
Yatha kacho mani vraje.
Yatha kacho mani vraje.
Yatha rahuscha deveshu.
Yatha rahuscha deveshu.
Tatha ham bhakta sanchaye.
Tatha ham bhakta sanchaye.
Yatha up bindu. Up means water. And bindu means small drop. Yatha ab bindu, just like a small drop of water, payah sindhau, it can pretend to be milk in the milk ocean. I hope you are able to understand. A small drop of water can pretend to be milk in the milk ocean. And you can see here, dear devotees, it will lose itself and nobody will be able to recognize easily where the drop of water is. And yatha kacho mani vraje, and just as a shard of glass pretends to be a gem in a cluster of gems. And you can see, can you make out which is glass and which is gem? It's not easy, dear devotees. And yatha rahuscha deveshu, and just as Rahu pretends to be a god in the assembly of gods, dear devotees, you might be knowing this pastime. Which one is Rahu? Please try to tell me. Tata aham bhakta sanchaye. Similarly, I am amongst all of you, dear devotees. This is my position here. I can pretend to lose myself and feel like a devotee amongst all of you wonderful devotees. This is my position here when I sit here, and I gain some strength by looking at Maharaj from time to time, so I can muster up some courage to speak something for the pleasure of the devotees. Still, dear devotees, I must speak even though I am a pretender. I'll tell you, there is some confidence in me, and this confidence is because of the following. Yokshe tathapi madvanim.
Yokshe tathapi madvanim.
Shri Krishnasyanu varnane.
Shri Krishnasyanu varnane.
Yadanuktam duruktam cha.
Yadanuktam duruktam cha.
Shantavyam atra tadbudhai.
Shantavyam atra tadbudhai.
Yokshe tathapi madvanim. Still I will engage my speech. Shri Krishnasya anuvarnane. In repeatedly describing Shri Shri Radha Krishna. Because I know that is the only solution for a person like myself. And Maharaj will correct me wherever I go wrong. Yad anuktam, if I miss out on something, duruktam cha, or if I speak something incorrectly, in all of these series of presentations, kshantavyam atra tadbudhai, I have faith that all of you Vaishnavas will kindly forgive me and tolerate any mistakes. And I have hope, dear devotees, that my voice will be purified in the association of all of you and the previous Acharya's words. Shri Rupa Vak Prasangena.
Shri Rupa Vak Prasangena.
Madvak Shuddhi Bhavishyati.
Madvak Shuddhi Bhavishyati.
Ganga Pravaha Yogena.
Ganga Pravaha Yogena.
Uti Gandhyudakam Yatha.
Uti Gandhyudakam Yatha.
Shri Rupa Vak Prasangena. By coming in contact with the words of Shri Rupa Goswami, Madvak Shuddhi Bhavishyati. I am confident that my vak, my speech, my words will be purified. Just as Puti Gandhi Udakam Yatha, just as a tiny stream of putrid sewer water, you can see here, dear devotees, it becomes purified when it comes in contact with Ganga Pravaha, with the powerful flow of the Ganga. So, dear devotees, I have hopes for myself, and this is the reason that I am speaking something. This part of this three-part series on Shri Krishna Smaranam, it gives the basics of Smaranam why it is required in each and every devotee's life, and why Smaranam is part not only of Raganuga Bhakti, but also of Vaidhi Bhakti. And this Vaidhi Bhakti, how does Smaranam look like in Vaidhi Bhakti, and how does Smaranam look like in Raganuga Bhakti? All these details will be covered according to the teachings of the previous great acharyas. And engagement of the mind is the best engagement, because once we have our minds remembering Sri Krishna favorably, with a heart that has genuine affection for Sri Krishna, then dear devotees, our lives will be completely transformed, and everyone around us will be able to notice that. So dear devotees, tomorrow in the morning and in the afternoon I'll be giving two talks. The morning talks are on a separate set of topics. The morning talks is understanding Bhakti Rasa, and the afternoon talks are on the fundamentals of Shri Krishna Smaranam. So tomorrow there are two talks. Day after tomorrow the morning talk is given by Maharaj. So I'll be giving the afternoon talk. And 20th, again, there will be two talks, followed by the final talk on 21st. So I hope that I'll have the blessings and the good wishes of all of you, dear devotees. And I welcome all of you here. Thank you so much for kindly being present here. The audience is the most important part of any presentation, and all of you are present here as audience. I'm very grateful to each and every one of you, dear devotees, that all of you are present here. And there is no other place in the world that I would like to be other than an assembly of like-minded devotees. So dear devotees, thank you once again and welcome to this wonderful series of talks on the two topics. First is understanding Bhakti Rasa, and second is the fundamentals of Shri Krishna Smaranam. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Hare Krishna.
What do you all think? The evening is so early, so young. Maybe we do a mix. Maybe some of you would like to, if you have a topic to ask us, it's always nice some exchange with the audience, and then we can end the evening with a nice get on. Is this a good idea? I'm a little improvising, but
yes.
Yeah.
Thank
you. So we heard a little bit about the spirit of this festival, and our Hari Parshad introduced this subject. I must say, I'm personally very curious. On this Krishna Smaranam, I really think that this is now the next, it needs to come in our movement, because otherwise we will lose our minds to a more material understanding of Krishna consciousness, you know, more external. The life of the mind is really smaranam. The mind is only a life in the life of a devotee, if he remembers or she remembers regularly Krishna. And if the mind is not alive, all these things which are there in our heart, they will come and bite the mind and eat the mind, lust, greed, anger. I always tell the devotees, of an experience I had when I was in Allahabad. We had reached Allahabad with our Nitai Gaur World Traveling Sankirtan party, and I was so tired, I said, can I please have an afternoon where I just sleep in the shade of some tree? And what could everyone say? I went to the tree, and then I woke up after a few hours. The sun was burning on my skin, but that was not the greatest disturbance. A much greater disturbance were the hyenas and the wolves and the vultures, who thought, oh, white flesh, and who were hopping close by and, you know, just, oh, they were not sure, were I alive or where was I dead? But they voted for the dead, and there was this one vulture. He was just ready to do the first pick, and then open my, I don't want to go into detail, but if you're picked by one vulture and then the inside of your body comes out, then everyone else comes and eats. So yes, when you're dead, vultures and hyenas can come. The mind is dead, the vultures and the hyenas can come of last breed, and we are all there around our hearts waiting when we are weak, and I'm really ready to dive into, yes, I think this needs to be propagated in our movement. And I'm very interested that you have said it's both in Vaidhi Bhakti and in Raganuga Bhakti there.
Yeah.
I personally also think like this. Prabhupada would, in the quote for instance, he would say, yes, so Hare Krishna. So, yeah, anyone has a question, a thought?
Yeah.
Yes, Jai Jagannath. Have you come just now from Vrindavan, Jai Jagannath? Or from
I came about a week and a half ago.
Oh, good. Then you're not jet-lagged and can listen. Yes.
I was curious about why the presentation of Smarna was met with mixed feelings. Specifically because, as you just mentioned, Rupa Goswami describes the essence of following the vidhis and Vaidhi Bhakti. He says, Smarta Visitatam Vishnu, Smarta Vinodatucha. Later, when describing Raghunuga Bhakti, he describes Krishna's Smaranam, Janam, Krishna, Nijasambhitam. So, Smaranam is described in both processes as the life force of both processes. So, I'm curious how such a topic comes to be controversial or met with mixed feelings when the fundamental teachings on the path of sadhana request us to do both.
So mixed feelings was a very, I softened the impact when I said when I said mixed feelings. The actual impact was that immediately after the talk I was told that Shravanam and Kirtanam are enough. Smaranam happens automatically. So, you don't need to distinguish between Kirtan and Smaran, because, you know, one should automatically lead to the other. And the route that the series of presentations is going to take is, of course, Kirtan leads to Smaran, but Smaran also has a separate culture which we need to develop. So that was the point of, you know, in, and therefore I was expecting that all the questions will come after all the three parts are over, but the questions started flowing on the first day itself. So that was the reason why, you know, that, and in our society, ISKCON, the way our society started, it started as a Shravanam Kirtanam centric society. So, which is very nice and which is how any society should start and sustain itself. Because Shravanam and Kirtanam are supposed to be the center of the preaching for the entire masses. And Shravanam quality, Shravanam and Kirtanam needs to be there for the classes. But at the same time, Smaranam has to be there. And since some devotees felt that Srila Prabhupada's emphasis was not so much on Smaranam, so they asked queries such as, if Prabhupada didn't give any separate emphasis, then why are you giving an emphasis separately? Which I had to tackle on the second and the third day, you know. So I was expecting that, you know, the devotees will wait till the third day, but the questions came flying on the first day itself. And I'm happy because it's only after a struggle that there is some meaning to improvement. You know, if the society progresses without struggle, then there is no meaning to that progress. So there has to be some resistance, there has to be some struggle, otherwise there is no meaning to progress. And this is also true for relationships. So that there is no meaning to progress unless there is some struggle. And a society which struggles and then is able to overcome some of its struggles and then reach another level of progress and internalize it, I believe that such internalized progress will last for a very, very long time, rather than having progress spoon-fed on the first generation. You know, so instead of having all the progress spoon-fed in the first generation, it is very important that the society goes through some internal struggles and then comes to the next stage of understanding, where Smaranam is also given its due importance within important sections of the society. And therefore, for this reason, our society ISKCON is, I believe it is, you know, it has great potential, because we have, not only Srila Prabhupada told us about Smaranam, but there is also quite a lot which the previous acharyas have said which can be further explored. So all of those things make this particular topic not only refreshingly challenging for myself, and I love a good challenge. I mean, you know, I love the question and answers. So I was very happy to answer all the queries. But on the second and third day especially, we went deeper into the sandarbhas, and we saw, because one of the prominent doubts was, how do you know if it is Smaranam and not your imagination? So we'll tackle this from Shastra this time. How do you know it is not your imagination? So we will see all of that from the authentic writings of Sri Jiva Goswami. And we will introduce a new term which will make devotees understand. Because all devotees have different impressions of Sri Krishna. And we are thinking that unless all of them have that same impression of Sri Krishna, it cannot be called genuine Smaranam. So what is genuine Smaranam, and how is it distinct from imagination? All of those were challenges, and I had only 3 days to resolve all of it. So that is what happened.
We will hear some of it also in your presentation.
Yeah, yeah. And you can pose any challenge. See, dear devotees, that freedom is there, you know. Please feel free to pose any challenge, because a good challenge means we have a good discussion, and a good discussion means we learn something new. So I'll be very happy to take queries on that, because I believe that I have tackled most of the difficult questions already, but I'm always waiting for a new question which can unsettle me. So I hope that answers your query to some degree of satisfaction. Yeah. And then we'll come to you. Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna, I want to thank both Maharaj and Parsha Prabhu for being here, and we're definitely increasing the fire of our eagerness just by seeing what you're going to talk about. My question is, how do we make what you're going to hear, so the process of Shravanam, move from the intellect and the mind to the heart?
How do we make it move from the mind to the heart? Therefore, the other set of presentation is on understanding bhakti ras, because actually speaking, to feel something in the heart is what you technically call bhava, and in the advanced stages it is known as rasa. And bhava or rasa is, it's not a mechanical thing. Rasa is a living thing, and so is bhava. So it can only come from one living source to another living source. And therefore it is very important to preserve the culture of speaking live, so that, you know, maybe in some of the speaker, maybe Maharaj is speaking something, or, you know, and then you suddenly feel that something from his heart has jumped into your heart. That is when you come to know that it's no longer just an intellectual exercise of the mind. It has connected with your heart, but it only happens when you are in contact with a person who has that requisite emotions. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very nice statement which is said, and I'll show this. In 1074-46, please repeat after me, dear devotees. Bhavo hi bhava karanam.
Bhavo hi bhava karanam.
Bhava, the mood that a particular individual has, bhava karanam, it gives the effect. So the mood with which a speaker sits and speaks, that mood is given to the audience. And if the speaker doesn't have that required mood, then they cannot give it to the audience, because there is no faking of mood here. There are some speakers who may do fireworks. You know what is fireworks? You know? Fireworks means voice modulation. They are speaking suddenly and then, Hare Krishna! This, dear devotees, is what you call fireworks. So fireworks is, it looks good in the immediate run, but the after effects are not there. So voice modulation, or you know, the seven effective habits of good speakers, these are all good, dear devotees, and they are needed from time to time. But at the same time, nothing beats having that most essential commodity within the heart, which is an experience of bhakti ras. And a devotee who has that particular experience within the heart, they are capable of giving it to others. And you will notice, whenever you hear various speakers, certain times you see fireworks, certain times you see a transformation of the heart. So that transformation of the heart is very essential, because that is the most essential characteristic of someone who performs the seva of kirtan. So, I hope that answers your query to some degree of satisfaction. Okay. Thank you. Mataji behind had a query. You wanted to ask something? Okay.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your wisdom. I'm a newer devotee, so my question will be a little more simple. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I this was just about, you had mentioned earlier about Linthi and praise, and also last year you spoke about devotees glorifying devotees and glorification, and I just was a little bit curious about the distinction. I know I've also heard in other talks about praise as a way of, I don't know if purifying is the right word, but kind of, we'll say purifying this emotion of envy, in order to not get caught up in this kind of world of negative emotions about envy, and instead uplifting or uprighting another person. So I was just wondering about the distinction.
Sure.
Between praise and glorification.
Yeah. So the distinction between praise and glorification is that genuine glorification is done when there is a genuine reason for it. Because in the morning class, Maharaj said, nowadays we have a culture of mutual glorification. Which means that, although there is no sufficient reason for such glorification, people just start glorifying nonetheless. And that sort of a glorification turns artificial after some time. It starts affecting our consciousness, because we start feeling the world is all very good. And that is also a sort of a duality, because actually the world is not good. the world is not actually good. It doesn't become suddenly become good if you start praising other people. So too much of praise also puts us into a duality which is called Sattvagun. Sattvagun is the mode of goodness, and it also binds us in this world. The actual upliftment is only by genuine praise or criticism of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Believe it or not. Praise the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, and whenever Srimati Radharani criticizes Sri Krishna, listen to that also. So adopt the praise and criticism of the spiritual world, and that you will find most uplifting. But praise in the material world should be genuine, and criticism also should be genuine. But we should be more careful with criticism, because criticism has an immediate tendency of being a contagious disease which can make us fall. And praise can also make us fall in the longer run. So genuine praise is always appreciated. Genuine criticism, when done privately, is also appreciated. But artificial praise and artificial criticism, they lead to distraction in the world. So that is what I'd like to say. I hope that answers your query to some degree. Yeah? Thank you.
Sure. In the context of raising children and this sort of idea, I guess maybe more modern, that like we can guide them towards good behavior by praising the good behavior and not really acknowledging the bad behavior, is that having a slippery slope of...
Because the previous Shastra says, in the Mimamsa Sutras, Jaimini says, Nahi ninda nindyam ninditum pravartate, apitu tad viparitasya prashamsitum. Criticism is employed not for degrading a particular entity, it is employed to emphasize the value of the opposite. So it's a very important principle in Mimamsa, that when Shastra criticizes something, when scriptures criticize something, Shastras do not have rag, dvesh, personal attachment or repulsion that they are criticizing something. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Grihastha Ashram, household life, is critiqued many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not because Sri Sukadeva Goswami has personal vendetta against the Grihastha Ashram. So the reason is so that the opposite of it can be glorified. So both techniques need to be employed from time to time, which is called Anvay and Vyatirek. Anvay means positive reinforcement, Vyatirek means negative reinforcement. And only when both of, there is a healthy dose of both of them, can a particular person understand what should be done, what should not be done. So that is the traditional way of teaching, and that is what has worked for thousands of years. So I suggest not changing any of it, because we don't simply want to have one way where we are just giving the positive reinforcements and then the child doesn't understand what are the negative consequences of doing certain things in the world. So what Shastra tells us is perfect, that there should be positive and negative reinforcement, but in general we should be kind towards children and not cruel, even if we are giving them some negative reinforcement. So I think that answers your query to some degree. Thank you. Maharaj, would you like to say something, please?
Thank you very much. It is so very insightful to, for instance, hear this verse, Bhavo hi Bhavakaranam. I just wanted to say something which was there in one of the queries. I do not remember who. One of you asked, how can we ensure that what we hear, what is theoretically understood, it comes into a realized form, into our heart. And when that query came, Hari Parsha gave a wonderful answer, and I remembered reading Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha on that. He says, what needs to be done so that Smaranam is continuously there in the heart? And I believe his answer to this question. What is to be done so that we always remember will help these things which he says, will help us to not just have a theoretical understanding, something here which we will soon forget, you know, but we will remember it. And this is what he says. Are you interested to hear?
Yes. Yes.
I think it is good also for our retreat, for what we want to do here. The heart becomes pure by surrender, by service to the devotees who embody truth, and by hearing, singing the names, forms, attributes, and pastimes of the Lord. And then one can perform smarana, or remembering of the Lord, all this. So I always think that the culture of bhakti, we want to cultivate bhakti, entails a whole process where body, mind, and heart becomes purified. And then someone who does this, who works, so to say, on multi-levels, he will have a wonderful result. And here it is very practical. Surrender, you have to do something which you only do for the pleasure of the Lord. Serve the devotees who embody truth, and also take part in the hearing and singing the names, forms, attributes, and pastimes. And then this constant remembrance in the heart, where you don't forget Krishna, and will be an it will grow from there, or at least it will be supported. If you want to plant a seed into the ground, you must have a good ground, you must water it, you must protect it. So in the same way, these three things, surrender, service to the devotees, hearing and singing, will help us to do this, this marana, or remembering Krishna always and not forgetting him. This is from Bhakti Sandhava, Anucheta 275. Yes. I'm not so good at numbers. I have to. Yes. Krishna, Krishna. I would love to just also say to all of you, my dear devotees, this is a great chance to cure your split heart, so that you can more desire Krishna. And this hearing is very nice, feeling very satisfied already. This I will immediately look up. I always thought the mood of the speaker becomes into the heart of the listener.
Yeah, it's permeated in the audience.
Yeah.
I think there's another query here.
Can you pass the microphone? Just getting problem.
Krishna Maharaj, you just referred to the idea of a split heart and how we can cultivate the desire to hear about Krishna. What recommendation do you have for that person whose mind, we understand, or we've heard from both of you how Krishna's and all the topics related to Krishna are of a higher taste. But if our mind is not really interested in changing what its current tastes are, what recommendation is there for someone with that problem?
Go on a listening marathon, really. I don't know from where I heard this, what was the reference to the scriptures, but it was a nice speaker. I can show you here. This is ideal. You know, when a person comes and hears Krishna consciousness, he goes up to a certain degree and then he closes. Okay, not further. And now I have my own private life. Now, and he closes his heart like this. You know? Nothing goes any longer in there. He has his own plans, his own desires. And this comes when you do a little hearing. But when you do a lot of hearing, then the closed heart or the it becomes moved up. You know, the example is there. When the monsoon comes and there is a pot like this, the monsoon comes, monsoon, a little bit more monsoon, and then starts to, you know, when it really comes down, I've seen in Mumbai when the monsoon comes down, and then the pot which is closed, which has this this position, it is tilted and put like this. So a lot of hearing, a lot of kirtan is, you could call the therapy for the unwilling soul. It will turn you in the whose intelligence has become vipariya smriti, has turned upside down. It will turn the mind in the right position, and then you become greedy to hear more and more. You have to come to the like a beggar who goes to rich householders to get his chapatis and so on. You have to come to the assembly of devotees, and there you will beg for some Krishna nectar, and you will see how your heart, which is turned away from Krishna, at least after some time or at times, it will turn in the desired direction. I think hearing is for many of us a therapy, something that cures the diseased heart and makes it soft and ready to hear more and more. Like Prabhupada said, from chanting, it becomes more chanting. He was once asked, what's the result of chanting? He said, more chanting. He said, he gave another example in Stockholm. In Stockholm we had at the programs a few drunkards, and Prabhupada then asked us, how do you become a drunkard? And we were always a little bit shy when Prabhupada asked this, because what's the taste of LSD? No one wanted to speak, because we all knew this, but we didn't want to give away our profound knowledge of these things. So we were silent. So when Prabhupada asked, how do you become a drunkard? Do you know? We didn't know where this discussion is going. Maybe we get the sauce at the end. When Prabhupada gave the answer, you have to associate with drunkards, and then you develop this taste. So this hearing, my dear devotees, in a positive way, is creating eagerness. It washes the contaminated heart from its unwillingness. It turns the heart towards Krishna. It is good if it, and if you can do it with faith, and with some humility, it will act even faster. Hare Krishna. Gaurahari is looking at the wristwatch. Should we, maybe because we cannot let Hari Parshad go so easily, ask the one or two questions to Hari Parshad, please? Mm-hmm. Would you like to have them?
Thank you for organizing this Bhakti Immersion Retreat, which really transforms our hearts. And I would like to say how His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhu always praises the audience. So, although I don't know, for myself maybe, if I'm the one, this bee in the middle of the lotus, but when you say this, I just see the greatness of the speaker who sees the audience the way he presents before every class the things you do.
I think it's also tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, it is tradition, because in Sri Rupa Goswami's dramas, Lalit Madhav, Vidagdha Madhav, there is a section called
prarochana. Prarochana means attracting the interest of the audience is very important. It is called prarochana. And the interest of the audience is attracted by telling them how important they are. It is a part of prarochana, but it is also shishtachar. Shishtachar means it is part of good behavior followed by the sadhus of the past. So not only to make sure that the audience is aligned with us in heart, but also as a cultural traditional practice. And when Sri Rupa Goswami writes his glorifications of his audience, he is very genuine. He really means it when he writes. And he also expects that those who follow in his tradition should also be likewise genuine. And like I said, bhavo hi bhava karanam. So I genuinely feel that there are devotees here who are capable of experiencing that. And just by projecting that feeling, Bhagwan may manifest that capability within the audience. We don't know. So I have great hopes that it will happen. And I'm sure that there are many devotees like that in the audience. And in the close association of such devotees, even those who are not like that may become intoxicated for some time. So that is my hope. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Hare Krishna. How to get or attain this Nishchal Bhakti or Nishchal Prem Bhakti? Sudama was doing Bhakti for Krishna. It was without any desire and without anything, although his condition was not so great. And still his love was so pure. And his emotion was so pure. So how to attain this Nishchal Prem Bhakti or Bhakti? This is my question.
I mean, it's also similar to what Prabhu asked, that the heart is split, and how do we get to that point where the heart really aches for, heart really wants to have that. There is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamritam by Sri Rai Ramananda, which I believe is the essential answer to this. And I will show this verse again in the presentations. Can you sing after me, dear devotees?
Yes.
Yes. This verse is in the meter, Vasanta Tilakam. Nanupachar krita pujana marta bandho.
Nanupachar krita pujana marta bandho.
Nanupachar krita pujana marta bandho. Premnaiva bhaktarudayam sukha vidrutam sya.
Premnaiva bhaktarudayam sukha vidrutam sya.
Yavat kshudasti jathare jarathapi pasa.
Yavat kshudasti jathare jarathapi pasa.
Tavat sukhaya bhavato nanu bhakshyape.
Tavat sukhaya bhavato nanu bhakshyape.
So the verse says, where Sri Rai Ramananda is saying, Nana upachara krita pujanam. You may think, I wish to attain Krishna prema. I wish to attain Krishna prema. And you may try various techniques to attain Krishna prema. But actually speaking, Artha Bandho, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, is pleased premnaiva bhakta hridayam sukha vidrutam sya. Only when it's not something you attain as a consequence of something, you cannot fix a formula for attaining prema. You cannot put it in a single formula, that this is the formula through which prema will be attained.
Prema is the salt that gives taste to all the activities of devotional service. And if prema is not present, then you can have many preparations, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. But because the salt of prema, affection, is not there, Bhagwan won't find it tasteful, and we ourselves won't find it tasteful. So how do you attain prema? Prema is not a commodity to be purchased from the superstore that you went and you got something and now you have prema, you added it to your life. Either you have it or you don't have it. I'm sorry to... Solving this one query will be the biggest challenge of your devotional life. And the reason why it is not behind fixed formulae is because it requires the devotee to put in their genuine heart into the entire process. Your question, in the material world, let's say somebody asks you, how do I fall in love with a girl? I'm just being very honest, how do I fall in love with a girl? And you can't give him a fixed formula that this is what you do to fall in love with a girl. You have to really look inside and see what is my own nature, what attracts me to other people, and then pray to Bhagawan, and then one fine day Bhagawan may send somebody to whom you find first attraction. And Sri Jiva, I'm quoting this material example because Sri Jiva Goswami quotes this example. And Maharaj quoted this example. Yuvati naam yatha yuni yunam cha yuvatav yatha. Just as the mind of a young boy is attached to him. So I'm asking a question based on that verse. How do you fall in love with a girl? Or how does a girl fall in love with a boy? That's a very important question. And that question should be meditated upon by every intelligent devotee, because that question contains the secret to understanding how do you fall in love with Bhagawan. And I'll tell you how people fall in love. Let me tell you. People fall in love either by extreme good fortune when they find that person who completely sweeps them off their feet on the first glance. Isn't it? And this would have been possible if we were in Dwapar Yuga. And we would have seen Krishna face to face. But that is not the only way of falling in love. There is another way of falling in love, and I'll tell you. The place from where I come is Mumbai, and Mumbai is responsible for spoiling entire India. Because there is one industry in Mumbai. Which industry?
Bollywood.
And it churns out songs every year. Song after song after song after song after song after song. And those people who have not yet met a girl also start falling in love just because of hearing those songs. I'm giving a material example here. But it's very important because it is connected to. So when you cannot find love directly by direct contact, you associate with those hopeless lovers who write songs of love and separation. And when you associate with those hopeless lovers, they implant in you the hope that I also want to suffer this way someday. I wish to suffer like this someday. Like he is crying for that girl and you're running behind. I also wish I could live like this. So these hopeless romantics are responsible for spoiling entire India. And here, Prabhu, in the devotional field also, you have many hopeless romantics roaming around. And you just associate with a few of them. Believe me, they'll plant in your heart that particular taste that I want to suffer like this. And that suffering is the highest enjoyment of the human form of life. Take it from me. On a stamp paper, suffering from Krishna is the highest form of enjoyment that a human being can have. But it is only for somebody who has experienced it. It's not for somebody who has not experienced it. And I'd like to say one thing. God is, Krishna is perfect in Mathura, perfect in Dwaraka, more perfect in Mathura, and most perfect in Vrindavan. But recently I have come across a realization which I put in my own words. Krishna is imperfect in Dwaraka, more imperfect in Mathura, and most imperfect in Vrindavan. After many years of thinking about it, Krishna speaks the least amount of lies in Dwaraka, more amount of lies in Mathura, and the most amount of lies in Sri Vrindavan. So, Acharyas may have said that Krishna is most perfect in Vrindavan, but I'd love to say that he is most imperfect in Sri Vrindavan. And this I'd like to say because we would love to fall in love with such a person who has their imperfections. We don't want to fall in love with a personality of Godhead who is all perfect, doesn't speak lies, doesn't close his eyes, doesn't sleep at night. You know, we don't want that for our lover. How many of you want, dear devotees, that Bhagavan should lie to you? Please raise your hands. See? How many of you want Bhagavan should play tricks on all of you? Please raise your hands. You see? All the, I told you I have great hopes in this audience. Because all of these are bitten by the same hopeless romantics, you know, of the devotional world. So this is what I am telling you. There are two ways of falling in love with Krishna like Sudama. Either you take birth with Krishna like Sudama, see him face to face and be attached to him. But that was something which you could have done in Dwapar Yuga. And now it's no longer Dwapar Yuga, it is Kali Yuga. So find a hopeless romantic who is singing the songs of separation from Sri Krishna, or who is singing songs of union with Sri Krishna, who aligns with the mood that you are aspiring for, and then you will also start feeling that same intoxication within the heart. And once you have that life, then there is no looking back. Right? That I think is, yeah.
This is also how Srila Prabhupada, he gave the definition of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
And this is exactly the Krishna consciousness definition. Krishna bhakti rasa, bhakti tamati.
Yeah.
In the Patyavari, yeah. Srila Prabhupada Swami Pad has presented that, and Srila Prabhupada refers to that in Sitari Charitamrita.
Yeah.
That this is the meaning when I composed that name, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, then I remembered, yeah. This is Krishna Consciousness.
And I'm sorry I couldn't explain the remaining half of the verse, because it's very important. The remaining half of the verse says, Yavat kshudasti jathare. As much hunger is there in your stomach, jaratha pipasa, and as strong as a thirst exists in your throat, tavat sukhaya bhavato nanu bhakshya. Food and drink are as pleasurable to the degree that one is hungry or thirsty. Most of us are not thirsty or hungry at all. Because why? It's satiated with material life. A little bit is Krishna consciousness on the weekend is okay. Don't overdose on it. And that mindset prevents us from overdosing on it. What is required really is a mighty overdose. Shri Radha Madan Mohan Jiyo ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Prabhupada ki. So what is required is a big overdose on this. You know, you can't become a hopeless romantic in 1 or 2 days. It requires a culture of many years. You need to have specific moods and tastes and songs, and then you need to have a culture of your own. And there is no fixed formula. You know, everyone has their different way of progressing. And this verse that Maharaj quoted, Yuvati Nam Yatha Yuni, as a young boy is attached to a young girl. Sri Jiva Goswami discusses it in Bhakti Sandarbha, about when he describes what is Raga Noga Bhakti. He first describes what is Raga, and he describes Raga in purely material terms. purely material terms. And then he tells, when that same raga is invested towards Bhagwan, that is when, you know, you start calling it raga in terms of Krishna Bhakti. I hope that answers your query, Prabhu, all right, to some degree. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Please allow me to thank you very much, Maharaj.
No.
I didn't mean to. A little jet-lagged, so please forgive me. Thank you all very much for attending this session. I feel in the interest of arriving, you know, you might go and arrange your rooms and settle in. It is perhaps good to end our program here. You can see the schedule of this program outside, and I believe it is possible, maybe Guru Hari, you could say, to send it on the mobile telephones. Yes, or they can maybe photograph the schedule on the mobile telephones. I'm very, very happy that you all start to arrive, and let us end this evening by raising our hands. So please wait, Gaurahari will tell you a few things you which are helpful to know to make your stay here very good. But you can see already the churning is going on. Our interest is moving forward. Wonderful. Hare Krishna.